All right, 32 minutes after 8 o'clock. You've got it on KHUM. And joining me here in the studio is Susan Doniger. She is the District Interpretive Specialist for Fort Humboldt. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks, Cliff. Appreciate being here.
Like your title.
Oh, thank you. It kind of means Education Coordinator.
There you go. So. All right, so we got Donkey Days coming up this weekend, Saturday and Sunday from 10 till 5. What is Donkey Days?
Well, Donkey Days is a long-term event. It's been about 30 years. I know a lot of the public in Eureka probably goes, hears the train whistles at the mall and other around town. Basically, train rides. We have two vintage locomotives, steam locomotives from the 1870s and 80s. And our volunteers, Timber Heritage Group, has been steaming up the trains and offering free train rides for about 30 years. So it's been kind of exciting to see that continue so long.
Fantastic. Now, Fort Humboldt has been there since the 1800s, right?
Exactly. It was established in 1853. As a federal fort, yeah.
And rumor has it, and you were just confirming that General Grant was there for...
He slept there, yes.
He slept there. He was actually there for 3 months.
Yes, he was. You know, it's one of the interesting stories about the fort is how, Grant did not really enjoy his time there. He only spent 3 months there. He was the quartermaster. And he resigned after a quarrel with his superior officer, who actually, when he became general, he was over this person. And I don't know if he took revenge, but anyway, he did not enjoy his time here. And resigned after 3 months and left town. But later on, he became the most famous man of his time, being Civil War general and president. Mm-hmm. And so everyone claimed to have known him or seen him drinking or et cetera in Eureka. He was Eureka's favorite son. And we had General Grant days in the 30s, I think 30s to the 60s. So
surprised we didn't name a town after him. We have McKinleyville after all.
That's true. That's true. Grantville. There were some forts and there's a camp, Camp Grant. I can't remember exactly where, but so there was a fort named after him.
Fort Humboldt's one of those things that everyone's driven past it. They know they pretty much know where it is. It's above the mall, it's up on the bluff there. Maybe people have been by there when they were a kid.
Exactly.
But it is there now. A bit of a controversial spot with the Native American community, and this is something that you've been addressing.
Yes, we actually have just finished a 3-year project to bring new signage and interpretation about a lot of the complex history, but particularly focusing on the Native American relations. And yes, it is a very challenging history. Fort Humboldt is still considered a genocidal site by some folks. We consulted with area tribes during a lengthy process and put that information into our signage, which I hope folks will come by and take a look at. It's really new history. It spotlights a lot of the complex story that went on there. There were a lot of different nuances to the story. There were some heroes within the military and some villains. Exactly. So it was a mixed bag. And so we hope we do justice by their story.
Yeah. Well, it's good you're addressing that, because I mean the controversy is there, and the fort is there. You know, good, bad, and ugly. It is there. It's part of Humboldt's history.
Exactly.
And it's good that is being addressed. It also it's kind of got you were mentioning it's got sort of a dual history. The fort.
Right, exactly. It was, of course, always a fort, but it was many things before it became a state park.
Right.
And after it became a park in the mid-50s, there was an effort to create a sort of tourist attraction, if you will, for Eureka. And so a lot of effort was put into acquiring logging artifacts, and the train rail was put in, and that was what it was for a long time. And over time, we've been trying to address the other history, which is this military side of life. We have one original building from the 1860s. It's a 1863 hospital, which is now unfortunately damaged and closed due to the earthquake that happened about 3 years ago.
That's too bad.
But we do have another recreated building that interprets the surgeons and where they lived. And actually, I'll be in costume interpreting the woman who lived there. It's a very interesting story. She wrote a lot of letters back to her relatives back east, and she actually had a pretty good time at the fort, unlike a lot of the enlisted men who really couldn't stand being at the fort.
That's what you're saying a lot of folks, joined up Civil War time thinking they were going to be in the action, but they were posted out here in the sticks.
Exactly, which is kind of where Grant found himself.
Uh-huh.
And they went through, a lot of the folks went through West Point together, then the Mexican-American War, and then they were posted to remote West Coast forts and to sort of quell Native American relations, and they just did not want to be there. They wanted to be in the Civil War. They wanted to be back east where all the action was, and that's our story. A lot of the men who came here kind of enlisted, I think they thought, under false pretenses. And there was a very large mutiny in 1863
Wow.
that happened at the fort. So it was pretty interesting.
Quite a history.
It really is very interesting.
Is that chronicled also there? The
Well, we were able to, some of the money that for the project, for the signage, I used to hire someone back in Washington, D.C., to dig up all the National Archive records. And so we came up with, we actually found some really interesting details about the court-martial, among other things. And Tom Mays at HSU has written an article that will shortly be published about this mutiny. And he recently gave an Ollie talk, the Osher Lifelong Learning, about this incident and about just kind of the general trend and history context of what was happening in forts in the federal presence to try to remove or settle disputes between the Native Americans and the settlers. So it has a lot of, like I said, a lot of complexity to it.
What was there when they built that? I mean, right now you got Broadway, you have the big street right below as the 101. You've got the Bayshore Mall, which obviously wasn't there.
Right.
I mean, was there anything there, or was that it?
You know, it was a small fort. I would say it didn't
Still
look.
Small.
Yeah, it didn't look like Fort Ticonderoga with the Palisades,
right,
because on the bluff you didn't really need that kind of walled structure.
Mm-hmm.
But there were 14 buildings around the parade ground at the height. It was about it was completely built out in about 1863. But the buildings were not really built to last. Fort Humboldt kept getting defunded, and they kept trying to abandon it, but it actually became eventually the headquarters for a region that extended from Fort Bragg all the way up to Oregon. And so it was kind of like the Home Depot of its day and a hospital. So it served, it took in supplies from San Francisco, and it was kind of a big complex. And so the hospital, which is very interesting, did serve all the townspeople and Native Americans as well as the soldiers. So we're trying to interpret that story as well.
To this day, how many buildings survive?
Well, we just have the one historic building, the historic hospital building, mm-hmm, which is now closed. And then we have a reconstructed building that was used by the surgeons' families. And those are the only two buildings that really interpret the site. So we're really trying to talk about the medical history, actually. We're the only fort in State Park Holdings that actually has that niche to talk about the medical service at that time. So.
And kudos to reaching out to the Native American community.
Thank you. They're an essential partner.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. As I said, it's there. It's part of our history. We need to get the story straight.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
Well, Susan, thanks for coming in. Again, Donkey Days is going to be happening Saturday and Sunday from 10 until 5. Is there an admission fee?
No, it's free.
Please
Can't come up
that.
And look at our signs. And we have a new, also a new green screen studio.
Really?
That we have a virtual, sort of a distance learning program.
Wow.
That we broadcast all over California and across the U.S. So I'd love to show that to people as well.
Excellent. Great. Susan Doniger, thanks for coming in.
Thank you.